Let us pray. Almighty God, by your Spirit, tell us those things that we most need to hear today, that we may hear with joy your good news, which brings us life and hope. And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and you are our Redeemer. Amen. I sometimes worry about not having enough of something. One of my favorite things about living where we live, one of our family's favorite things about living in Powhatan, and in particular the neighborhood in which we live, it happens every year in December. We've already got up our Christmas decorations. We've already begun singing Christmas carols here at church. And toward the early part of the month, we'll see a sign pop up at the entrance to our neighborhood. And we know that some guys in a fire truck, they've been by, and they put this sign up, and it reads, Santa Claus is coming, and then it has a date, and it's normally December the 18th. And I always remember that because that's Laura's birthday. They normally come right about Laura's birthday. And what happens is the Fine Creek Volunteer Fire Department every year throughout the neighborhoods in this little area that they'll get Santa Claus to make an early appearance about a week before Christmas, and they'll come to each of the neighborhoods and Santa Claus will be on a fire truck. And you know when he's coming on that evening because it sounds like the world is on fire because they come into the neighborhood and the sirens are blaring and you see lights all in the trees and the children are excited and they stop at each house where there are people gathered by the street and you can climb up in the fire truck and talk to Santa Claus. Sit on his lap and tell him what you want for Christmas. I've not missed my chance either. When we first moved to Norwood Creek, the neighborhood where we live, one of our neighbors is an older couple, and they have a granddaughter who's about Sophie's age, and she was frequently visiting about Christmas time. So they would invite neighbors over the night that Santa Claus was coming on the fire truck, and the fella, he would meticulously build a big bonfire and let it burn down through the afternoon. So about the time that Santa Claus would come on the fire truck, it would be just right to roast marshmallows and hot dogs. And they would set up tables and they would ask people to bring particular things. And it was a good time with neighbors and friends and with this family and their granddaughter. One particular year, I think it was the first year that we lived there and the DeFogies invited folks over like this. I remember they asked us, our family, to bring what we would need for the whole group to make s'mores. And you know, there's three ingredients to s'mores. There's the graham cracker part, and then there's the marshmallow, and then the Hershey bar part. So I remember Beverly, she does our grocery shopping, and she had gone to the grocery store and she had bought those three ingredients for the s'mores. But it was one of those things where you don't really RSVP to show up. You just kind of go. And you never know how many people are going to be there or how many s'mores you will need. So Beverly went to the grocery store. She bought the ingredients. But when that day came, I remember looking. Beverly and I were looking. And you know the question in our mind, don't you? Are we going to have enough? Will there be enough chocolate squares for the number of marshmallows, the number of graham crackers? So even though I thought I was going to risk missing Santa Claus, you know what I did? I got in the car. Beverly and the girls had already walked to the neighbor's house, and I got in the car and ran to the convenience store and bought more chocolate because we were worried. What if we're not going to have enough? Well, that night came, and we had what Beverly had bought, and we had the extras that I had bought, and we had quite the stockpile, and we didn't run out. It didn't take us long to eat the extra chocolate, but it seemed like the graham crackers hung around the pantry for, for quite a while. It's probably Easter before all of the graham crackers were gone. I think we are all prone to doing that, to worrying or at least wondering, are we going to have enough? Do we have enough? Are we enough? Maybe you've never experienced this with s'mores, but I'm sure something like this has happened to you. You've worried that what you have, are you going to be able to stretch it far enough to meet your needs or the needs of others? It could be something as small as graham crackers and marshmallows and chocolate, but I would guess it's probably something bigger. It's something like your retirement account, or even just your monthly paycheck. And you're wondering, is it enough? In times that we live, it's probably natural, common for people to feel the need to let's hold back and protect what little we have. We are prone to want to safeguard everything that we have. The last thing we would ever want to do, that you ever would want to do, is to run out. So we hold back, not sharing with others. We hold back because we wonder, are we going to have enough? The people who came to Jesus that day, out of the text that Rebecca read for us, that's what they were like. They had come to hear him preach. They came and they were following Jesus. They wanted to see him heal. And they had been with Jesus for a long time. And they were tired and they were hungry. And the disciples, those closest to Jesus, they were getting worried. They looked out at this huge crowd. I don't know, 5,000 people? Maybe 5,000 men, not counting the women and children? They saw this huge crowd. And they went to Jesus, and Jesus asked his disciples, where are you going to get enough to feed all of these people? Those disciples probably thought that Jesus was out of his mind. Philip says to him, Jesus, it would take 6 months of pay to feed all of these people. We can't do it. We can't feed them all. Andrew says, but there's this boy here, I don't know, and he's got 5 loaves and a couple of fish, but you know, that's barely enough to solve this problem. But Jesus decides, Jesus says, in reference to those 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus decides, I can work with that. So Jesus has the people to sit down. He gets the bread and he gets the fish. He asks the blessing. He thanks God for those things. He gives thanks for those. And he starts to pass it out. And it's not just enough to feed that whole crowd. But there's plenty left over. In fact, there are 12 baskets full of bread. There's more left over than they even had to start with. What a miracle. Now, I want to tell you about another way that some people read this miracle story. It's another way of reading it. And this other way of reading this story is best described by another story that I want to tell you. It's about a commercial airline flight. It's a long flight, an international flight, and the story is told, it's written by a pastor who was on the flight. And the pastor said that that he had boarded the airplane, and it was sometime, a few minutes, maybe an hour, after the airplane had taken off. A flight attendant comes on the intercom and announces that a terrible mistake had been made, and the airplane had actually taken off before the food service people were able to deliver anything to the plane. So the flight attendant says, on the plane there's no meals, there's no snacks, there's no little bags of peanuts anywhere on the plane, there's no beverages, nothing had been loaded. The flight attendant apologized again and again and again, but then she said that she was confident that there was plenty of food on the plane. She said over the intercom that she guessed that most, if not all, of the passengers, they probably had candy bars and nuts and trail mix and all kinds of other goodies stuck away in their carry-ons and purses and pockets. How about if everyone, the flight attendant said, just you dig down deep and you share what you have with everybody on the flight? The preacher that was on board this plane says that he witnessed something of a miracle that day, because people started reaching into their pockets and they reached into their carry-ons and ladies reached into their purses and they shared what they had. And there was enough. There was more than enough for everybody. So some people say that what happened in this miracle story, that our story this morning, that there was this huge need, that there was this huge lack of food, and that everybody almost, they were holding something back. Food that they had brought with them, and they had intended that day to hold it back and not share. But then a little boy who was following Jesus, he thought he could do something. So he brings out what he's been holding back like everyone else. And it wasn't much. A couple of fish and some bread. And he stepped forward and gave it to his disciples. And Jesus took it. And that little boy, his example, it led everyone else to a spirit of generosity and a willingness to share what they had never intended on giving. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about this. I don't know if about this reading of this story. Because I have never read the story and heard it this way. And in my mind now, I imagine that this little boy brought it forward and Jesus had it in front of him, and Jesus said a blessing and he broke it and he started passing it out. And every time Jesus looked down, there was more, and he passed out more, and until out of that little boy's offering, everyone had been fed. That's how I have always read this parable. That's how I've always, not parable, this story. This is how I've always believed this story. And I push away from that other reading that I just described to you, because in this world there are people who don't believe any of the Bible's miracles. And they want to take away the possibility of miracles in the world. And they say that miracle stories in the Bible just aren't true. And I do believe miracles, the miracle stories in the Bible. So I push away from that other reading of this story, because I don't want to be one of those people who undermine the Bible or the Bible's miracle stories. But What about that other reading? Not to discount miracles, not to say that Jesus could not have accomplished this any way he chose, because if you believe in the resurrection, that God brought back to life a man who was dead, I can believe any miracle story. So not to discount miracles, but what if this other reading has something to it? What if it is a miracle to suggest that, you know, Jesus can lead people who had planned on holding back and not giving what they're hiding, but when you follow Him, that your heart, it changes and you're willing to give. Now, that's a miracle, isn't it? Maybe through this that Jesus shows us that when we share, there is enough. Literally multiplying loaves and fishes. The way I read this story, it is a straight up miracle. But Jesus changing our hearts, leading us to share, that is also a miracle. And this story, whether it was that one little boy or 1,500 people who share, it reveals a truth. That when we give what we have, there is enough. And with God, there is always enough. We have enough. We have more than enough. As a congregation, we have enough and we are enough. And together, we have more than enough. And beyond that, you are enough. I believe that Jesus multiplied what that little boy brought to feed the multitude. I really do. But when we dare to share what we all have, what a miracle that is. And Christ always turns a little into a lot. So I wonder today, what are you being invited by Christ to share? Maybe it is a financial gift that you give to others, to the church, to God's work in the world. Maybe God is inviting you to share in that way, to share your resources. But maybe God is inviting you to share your time and your talents. Next Sunday, after worship, we will have the ministry fair, and it is a time for you to decide, how is God calling you to share your life next year with God's work in this world? How will you share your time, your abilities, your talents that God has given you? Will you hold it back? Refusing to share, or you offer it? You know, God doesn't need us to respond. God really doesn't even need us to participate in what God is doing in the world. God could do it all himself. But in the face of such grace, we can't help but to respond to what God is doing. And the good news is that when we do, Christ blesses what we give. And there's always enough. So, how is God inviting you or calling you to share today? Is it with your resources? Or maybe with your time or your talents? Or maybe God is calling you today to share with a hopeful spirit. A hopeful spirit, an attitude that says, That God has given us enough, and that with God there will always be enough. You know, those disciples stood back watching Jesus, convinced that they would never have enough. They were convinced that the people would never be fed, regardless of what kind of plan they... It is 6 months' wages. We can't do that. A negative, pessimistic, naysaying attitude. Maybe what God is calling you to do, to share, is a hopeful spirit. I know what it's like to live as a pessimist. I know what it's like to live with an attitude of scarcity and hopelessness and a constant critical spirit. And I also know what it's like to live as an optimist, to know that with God there is always going to be enough. Know what it's like to live with this attitude that it and we, that will never be enough, that even if we do something, it will never make a difference. It's not even worth trying. And I will tell you, that's a terrible way to live. And it's uninspiring. And the things that you hold on to, the things that you keep to yourself, out of fear, often become about as useless and unappealing as all of those extra boxes of graham crackers that sat in our pantry. But to live with God's hope and to live with God's optimism, it can come easier when we know that it's not all on our shoulders. It comes easier when we remember that Christ will always take the little that we have. Maybe just a few loaves and a couple of fish, and Christ would transform those things into a feast. Living with hope, it comes easier when we see that those things that they'll change us. And change our world. So I ask this question. What are the limits of our hope? What are we holding back? Because we think that God just won't bless it. What are we reluctant even to try? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that your Son, our Savior, that he took that boy's offering and he transformed it into a feast to feed that multitude. I pray, God, that we will not hold back the things that you have given to us, those things that you have given to us to share. Maybe our resources, maybe our lives, maybe a hopeful spirit. We offer these to you, Almighty God, and we fully believe that you would transform what we bring. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Our hymn of response today is number 613, The Servant Song. I invite you to respond as God leads you.